I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com.
When I was putting together my first book, I did a stretch in Washington as a newspaper correspondent. And every day I went over to the Congress, and I reported on the inmates there. It was very entertaining. I had never seen a body of men with tongues so handy and information so uncertain. Well, they could talk for a week without ever getting rid of an idea. If one of those men had been present when the deity was on the point of saying, "Let there be light," we never would have had it.
We're back again with legendary actor Hal Holbrook, author of his autobiography, Harold, The Boy Who Became Mark Twain, right here on the TV Time Machine. Hal, that was a clip from the 1967 TV special Mark Twain Tonight. How did that production come to be?
I had several people like Bob Sodeck at NBC had talked to me, approached me or whatever, to do Mark Twain on television after I made this big success in 1959 in New York. I was like the overnight success of the year. You know, I mean, nobody knew who I was, and the next morning I was like I had, I think Life magazine said I had the best set of reviews since My Fair Lady, which is pretty damn good. So, I mean, you know, one of the things that happened is people would come up with the idea of putting Twain on TV, but they all wanted to do it with steamboats going back. You know, they wanted to get the Mississippi River behind me or some nonsense like this. And that's not what I was doing. I was dealing with the man's mind, dealing with what the man had to say about us, about human beings, about our country, about the way we behave, about religion, about politics, about war, about everything that the human race diddles around with and gets wrong all the time. That's what I was dealing with. And so finally, several years went by, and David Susskind came up to me at a party that my agent was giving and said he wanted to do the show on television, and I said, "How do you want to do it?" And he said, "I want to do it exactly the way you do it on the stage." I said, "Okay, if you want to do that, I'll talk to you." And my teacher, Ed Wright, had called me from Ohio, from his college one day, and said, "Hal, turn the television set on. Frank Lloyd Wright is on the television being interviewed, I think, by Mike Deglas in his earlier interview show." And I turn it on, and it was a wonderful interview because Mike let the man alone. And you watch this old man, eccentric as he was, you watched him thinking. You watched his head, his eyes, thinking, coming up with another thought. And I said to myself, that's the way to do Mark Twain. Just put the camera on him and watch him think. And so that's what we did with, I hired Susskind to produce it, and that's what we did. And nobody would have dreamed. I mean, we're talking about one man on television for 90 minutes. 90 minutes, an hour and a half, on television in prime time from 8 o'clock at night to 9:30. They would no more do that today than they would jump off of the highest cliff in the state of California.
You got that right.
Nobody would even dream of such a thing today. But Mike Dann at CBS wanted to put the thing on, and he did. And he took the chance. And lo and behold, to everyone's astonishment, including mine, We got a 35 share. 30 million people watched it, and it won the night on television.
Why do you think Mark Twain resonates with people?
Because he tells the truth. He's out there telling the truth. Sometimes it's funny. You know, the truth is funny because you don't hear it.
Right.
When somebody tells the truth, sometimes it's funny because you don't hear anybody telling it. Let me give you a simple example of the way Mark Twain tells the truth about something, and you have to finish it. This is a quote. Man is the noblest work of God. Who found that out? Now you have to finish it.
That's right.
So you're stumbling around in your imagination trying to get out of a corner.
Right, exactly.
Because he has trapped you.
Right. Now, for someone who has little or no familiarity about Mark Twain, how would you describe Mark Twain as a person and as a writer?
He was an old man, but he had a fiery energy. His eyes were dark and full of fire. When he spoke slowly, and he actually said something. He didn't diddle around. He said something. It made you think. That's the way I think about him. Mark Twain was a presence. When you came into his presence, you were in a presence. There was somebody there who was unusual. We don't have anybody like that in our world or in our country today. They're gone, for the moment anyway. I mean, Mark Twain was, when he, in his later years, he became the guy, they use this word icon these days. I can't stand it, especially when they apply it to me. It makes me nervous. But he was, like, there's nobody like him in our country today. He was a world citizen. He had gone around the world. He became a world citizen. The closest thing I could think of would be in World War II, the Prime Minister of England.
Churchill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the closest thing I could think of how famous Mark Twain was all around the world. I mean, I played Mark Twain in New Delhi, India. I went to India. I went around the world with Mark Twain years ago. And when I played New Delhi, India, the New Delhi Times wrote an article, you know how they do, promoting the fact that you're going to be doing the show tonight or tomorrow. And the article that they wrote about Mark Twain in the New Delhi Times was the most intelligent, complete, and knowledgeable piece of newspaper writing about the show, that about him, that I had ever read anywhere, more than my own country. Because Twain went there, he played five cities in New Delhi, in India, and they never forgot him.
Hal, if Mark Twain were alive today to watch one of your performances, what do you think he would say about your depiction of him?
Oh, my Lord alive. I can't even. I would never want that to happen. It would scare me to death. He would probably think, what is that guy up there doing? Who the hell does he think he is?
He
had an ego. Would you like to watch somebody imitate you? Impersonate you? No way, man. Nah. Please save me from that. I don't want that to happen.
Well, Hal, in 1970, you became one of the bold ones.
Hell, well, they really got to announce you, don't they, huh? They got to come up with a whole piece of music to let you know something important is going to happen.
I know, they don't do that these days for TV shows. You know, you're lucky to have a theme these days. How important was The Bold Ones to you?
It was tremendously important to me. It was the first time I was able to get out in public, except with Mark Twain on television, but to get on television and do something that I thought was important. Well, no, that's not exactly right. I did a few other things that were important, but I mean, this was vitally important. We did the senator. I played the senator. We did, and The Bold Ones was a three-part thing. Every third week you went on a different one. One week would be the lawyers, the next week was doctors, and then the senator. And we were dealing with issues that were happening in our country. We were dealing with what was going on in our country, in politics, in the political scene, the corruption of politics. The first one was an attempted assassination of the senator because he was going to speak at a college campus about the value of dissent. Dissenting, questioning, challenging the current thought. And this was back in 1970, 71. This is at a time when this country was very much like today in some respects. It was being torn in two directions. There was a tremendous amount of emotion that had come out of the 1960s about our country and where we were going and what we were doing. Mr. Nixon was president, and there was a lot of question about some of his practices. And our show came on, and we took all that on. We took it on. And we had wonderful writers, some of the best writers in television, who had even stopped writing for television, came back and wrote for our show. And we took on tough subjects. And I was very proud of what we did. And recently, when I was writing about it for the second book I'm writing now, I got them all out. Because we only did eight. You know, eight in a season times three is 24, so that's a whole season. And we were canceled in 1 year, and we were canceled after we had won eight Emmys.
Right.
Eight Emmys.
Right.
The best show on television, the best actor, the best director, the best, you know. And we were canceled. And I watched these things in my home. I hadn't seen them for years. And I was very moved. You know what moved me?
What?
Because the actors on that show really meant what they were saying. It was important to them. And we did a show on the killing of students at Kent State, which is very controversial. And they were not even going to put it on because it was so controversial. They the network didn't know whether they're going to put it on or not. And then what happened was the conclusion that the show came to about who was responsible for the killing at Kent State turned out to be exactly the same conclusion as the Scranton Commission in Washington came up with that investigated it. And then they put it on that fall.
Well, Hal, we're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with actor Hal Holbrook, author of Harold, the boy who became Mark Twain, who is traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.